Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time. With your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good.
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
America, you got fucked. The media shut the job, now we stuck. Damn.
You're gonna die here. Die here. You're gonna die here. Die here. Die here.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program changing the game. One show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans who are not affiliated with a major network. What's going on, brothers and sisters? It's been a long week. It's felt like 2 weeks since the last time that we talked, but it's good to be back in these uncertain times as the people at Old Country Buffet and Outback Steakhouse and Liberty Mutual Insurance, as they keep reminding us in these commercials. These are uncertain times, far from the norm. But let me bring in my tag team partner before I throw this out there on the table and see what he thinks about it. Ladies and gentlemen, joined as always this week by my brother from Southern California. Give it up for Marcus. If I had known the world was gonna go crazy once Michael Jordan finished that documentary, I would have asked him to do a whole nother series. Vandenberg, what's good, brother?
What's up, Nate? How you doing?
That nigga Mike could only save us for 2 weeks. about 4 weeks, I mean.
Yeah. Whew. I'm tired, Nate. I'm tired.
Yo, all right. So what I was going to say, Marcus Vandenberg, is, you know, we can say because of Corona and everything that these are uncertain times, that these are times that are anything but normal. But I would argue that the most normal thing in America happened this past week. Racism's back, everybody.
Actually, you know when the normalcy of this country started was that shooting in Arizona. Because that was the first major domestic gun violence situation we've had since probably March. And I said, yeah, sadly, this feels like normal. And then we get to
America's back.
Yeah, we get to this past Monday. And then, you know, it really felt like America was back.
Hey, congratulations, Mr. President. You have reopened America.
Yeah.
And all of the wounds that come with it.
Yep.
Speaking of wounds, Marcus, as a Falcons fan, obviously the people know where my allegiance lies. I have to give it up. I don't even remember the lady's name that tweeted this, but it was a beautiful tweet about 2020 yes. America. And she was like, who would have thought that Rona gave up a 28-3 lead to racism in the fourth quarter?
Yeah. Racism is the ultimate dynasty. It's the New England Patriots of
never lost.
Yeah.
Yes, racism is the Tom Brady of isms in America.
Yeah.
Like Corona, you was hot. You had a hot single. Racism is Frank Sinatra. Racism got catalogs out here.
Got hits. B-sides, remixes, all of it.
Yeah, yo, they got B-sides. They got old standards. Racism Ballads. Got so many hits, people cover racism's hits.
Yes.
I'm imagining now, Mark, it's like the old Time Life commercial that used to come on at night. It's like Time Life presents the greatest hits of racism. Featuring What About Black on Black Crime?
Mm-hmm. All Lives Matter.
Featuring All Lives Matter.
Blue Lives Matter.
And a bonus track from The Undertaker, Blue Lives Matter.
Before we dive into the serious stuff.
Yes.
I don't know if I can watch the last two episodes now knowing that Taker is just decked out in this Blue Lives Matter sphere. Like, why didn't no one from the... Well, I know why, but...
Right.
Why did they not try to challenge him and say, hey, maybe you should put on, like, a regular shirt for this?
Yeah. Wear your own merch or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I haven't watched... I watched the first episode, and then after that, I've just been kind of like, eh. And I think it's a mixed Marcus between, like, I like The Undertaker fine enough, but I'm not, like, a huge Undertaker fan. But then the other thing is, like, Sting wouldn't be out here wearing these shirts.
Nope.
Like, Ric Flair, even, look, and we know about Ric Flair. Ric Flair wouldn't be out here wearing these shirts.
Nope.
Hogan,
I don't even think Hogan would wear it.
You think Hogan would be smart enough to be like, this ain't a good look right now?
After what he's been through? Yeah, he would not do
that. Yeah. That's not a good look, brother.
Yeah.
Tan Lives Matter. but yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, yeah, this week, since we don't have much MLB news or NFL news, you know, we figured it wouldn't be right for us to skip a week. We got to get back on these mics and talk about America's favorite pastime, Mark. It's not baseball, but of course, racism. And so I guess I'll let you be the chronicler of events, Marcus, because this has been a weird week. Like, and now I'm just kind of sitting back and realizing how long this week has been because of what's happened in Minnesota. This whole week started with that damn lady and her dog in New York City.
That's right.
That was just this past week with Amy Cooper.
That's Central Park Karen. That was Monday.
Yep, that was Monday.
Now, Monday morning. So Monday morning was Central Park Karen, who did not have her dog on a leash in Central Park, was called out by this by a black, I forget what the term he was going by, a birder? Or?
A birder. Because he's part of the, what is it, the Audubon Society?
Uh-huh. And, of course, she got all offended, and the camera started rolling, and she called the police on him, and, as Karens do, escalated the situation.
Yep.
And the cops came, and, of course, the cops were like, what are we doing? Like, he's not doing anything to you. He's not harming you. This is just a verbal dispute. Man,
those are binoculars. That's not a weapon.
Yeah. I forgot what exactly she said to him. It was something with African-American. It was...
Yeah, she said, I'm going to tell the police that an African-American man is assaulting me.
Yes, and that...
Meaning she knew exactly what she was doing.
If you've seen Jungle Fever, you know why this is important, because that is the trigger for some officers to hear a white woman saying that a white woman is being threatened by a black man.
Yep.
Luckily, for his own safety, the cops, nothing came of it. And all of this video was shot and passed along to his sister, who put it on Twitter. And then from there, it just blew up into... it went viral.
Can we give a shout out, Marcus? I know this is not the week to be shouting out powerful, rich, white men.
Mm-hmm.
But can we give a shout out to your man, Steve Jobs, for this camera phone? on these iPhones that have been putting this stuff out here for the people. Because without these camera phones to give us evidence, everybody, I'm telling you, everybody would have believed Amy with her story.
Yeah. I mean, that, sadly, a lot of this stuff has been going on for years, but we're just now, you know, seeing this on video. The first high-profile video case of all this was Rodney King.
Yeah, back in the day.
Back in 92, or 91, I guess the incident actually happened. Or no, it was 91.
So it was 91, yep.
The trial was 92. Yep. So yeah, this is only improving in the sense of, like, people have cameras rolling all the time. And if it's not the actual person who's involved, other people around them are rolling cameras now.
Right.
So there's a good situation.
Which is why we actually had evidence for the major kind of story of the week. The catalyst for a lot of the anger and the frustration and the I told you so's. Like, we've been saying this, that people have been seeing on social media over the past, I'd say 72 hours is when it really kind of took hold.
Yeah, so Monday night in Minneapolis, George Floyd was pulled out of his car. I guess a call came in for forgery. I think he had the person called in said he was given some funny money by George, and cops show up, pull him out. And at first they, you know, they cuff him and get him against the wall. And then at some point they move him towards their vehicles. And that's when he's face down on the ground in the street. And you have an officer who has his knee on the back of his neck, essentially. And you got the other surrounding officers that are, A, not stopping this officer, and then sort of letting this continue and continue and continue. And then eventually he's non-responsive. I mean, he's dead.
Yeah, and for those that have seen the video, which is like there's a reason that the networks that have aired it have given warning, you know, to people that have watched it, because you're actually watching a man
and hearing him, yeah,
and saying, "I can't breathe." You know, why are you doing this? And at one point, you know, he's calling for his mother,
yeah,
and then you don't hear anything, and this man still, the officer, still has his knee on the back of Floyd's neck. And so, like, because I remember seeing it, Marcus, but, and maybe this speaks to a larger conversation that I'm sure we'll get into, but as a black man, like, I was equal parts outraged, but also kind of, this is America. Like, it was shocking, but not shocking. It was shocking, but not surprising, I guess would be the way to say it. Because we've been known about this. We've been known that incidents like this happen. And so, yeah, I saw it and I was like, okay, this is going to certainly bring up discussions and conversations. But even as a black man, Marcus, I didn't think it was going to get to where it got later on in the week, when I think people just got tired and fed up and said, you know, enough is enough.
It was even more shocking because he was not resisting. Like, he was not fighting back.
Yeah, he was on the ground.
He was on the ground. I mean, even before he was on the ground, he was against the wall, and he was not, you know, attacking officers or you know. So that's why I was just confused. Like, you know, what exactly was the officer thinking when, you know, you have him on the ground, you have your knee on his neck.
And people, and that's the other thing about the video, Marcus, that I do think might have made this different than some of the other videos we've seen over the years, is that the people are actively, like the citizens, are like, you know, you're killing him. You know, he ain't do nothing. You know, he's not resisting arrest. And you see, particularly from the officer that's standing up, just kind of this nonchalance, like, so?
Yeah.
And, you know, the officer that is the arresting officer has his hands in his pocket at one point in the video. Just like, this is, you know, this ain't nothing but a Tuesday.
Yeah.
And so I think when you see that image combined with the fact that I think there's already a heightened sense of tension in the country because of the coronavirus, which, by the way, is still going. Like Corona's still out here.
So we'll talk about that.
Yeah, like Corona's still out here. So I think when you combine like the frustration people have had for the past 2-3 months, combined with another instance of a black man being given a death sentence for something that, like, come on, man. Like, yeah, okay, you shouldn't be passing out phony money. You shouldn't be writing bad checks. Okay, I get that, but that's not a crime or an infraction that should be met with death. And I think people are just like, you know, enough.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why you're seeing a lot of the anger and the emotion this weekend.
Do you wonder if there wasn't a crowd? Would the situation have gone any differently? Do you think the officer was trying to just make a point to the people observing of, like, you know, I'm the officer here, and...
Yeah, because there was a performative aspect to it where he's like, well, that's why you shouldn't do drugs, or that's why you shouldn't commit crimes. You trying to be officer friendly right now? Like, kids stay in school and you won't end up like him. But that's a really interesting question, Marcus, because I do think with this officer specifically, and I can't remember his name right now, but like, this ain't the first time he's been involved with stuff like this, and that came out later that over the last 4 years, he's had 3 other interactions with this. So it's like, yeah, this is what this dude does.
Yeah.
And so maybe if it was another cop and there wasn't the crowd, this wouldn't have happened. But with this cop, I don't think he cared if it was a crowd or not. Particularly since we also found out that their paths had crossed because they both did security at the same establishment.
Yeah.
So it's like, not only does he have at least somewhat of a relationship with Floyd, but he's also got all this stuff in his history. And so it's like, yeah, this won't no accident, man.
Which makes me wonder if this was personal. On top of everything, like, he had to know, he had to know who it was when he pulled up on him.
Yeah, because it seems like, because I'd never heard of this man. You know, I'd never heard of Mr. Floyd. But apparently, like, this was somebody that was a big part of that community. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody that had done stuff, you know, helping out the kids and coaching and stuff like that. And I guess was associated with rap groups and stuff like that. And you know, Steven Jackson was a friend of his.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like, not only the fact that you worked with this guy at this establishment, but if you're in this community and apparently he's been an officer there for a while, like, yeah, you know Big George.
Yeah. So that was Monday. And that came out late Monday night. And I would say, when did things really pick up? Not until...
I was going to say, to me, it really didn't, like...
the middle of the week.
Pop off until, like, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
Because I think, like, people were still... Again, I think, you know, part of it is we've been down this road before, but the other part of it is people are really preoccupied, maybe more so than normal, with what's going on in their own lives because of the pandemic, that it took a minute. It was like a delayed reaction. And it was like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then like Wednesday night. To me, that's when I first started seeing like Justice for George or Say His Name and all this other stuff. And it's like, okay, this is gaining some traction. And then when we get to the weekend and the protests and everything, like, yeah, this is not something that's going to be, you know, unfortunately, and I don't mean to say it like this, Marcus, but unfortunately, when this happens to our brothers and sisters, like a Tamir Rice or a Sandra Bland, to me, things like that often get, they have a moment and then it's gone. I think this is something that is going to have legs, in part because we're having actual conversations today. And we're not just having conversations within the community. We're having conversations with our Caucasian brothers and sisters. We're having conversations with people in law enforcement. We're having conversations with people in positions of power in the government. And so, yeah, like I don't think this is going to go away anytime soon.
No. And yeah, this is day five of the protest. And as you mentioned, the coronavirus is still a thing.
Yeah, which okay, I don't know how you feel about this, Marcus, because on the one hand, I'm like, I get it. I understand. If I were, you know, 10, 15 years younger, I might be out there with y'all. But A, given the fact that my protest, like my protesting legs ain't what they used to be, Marcus, but also like Corona is still out here. Corona is still affecting and infecting people. Like every time I see the pictures, like I'm proud and concerned at the same time for our people. Cause it's like, it's like a double whammy. Cause like, yes, they need to be heard. Our voices need to be heard. But at the same time, it's like how many of our brothers and sisters are going to come down with this virus because they chose to act in civil disobedience?
Yeah, I think we're going to find out in a couple of weeks when if there are huge spikes within, you know, the black and brown community. But to that point, there's also been a lot of white people who have been protesting too.
Let's talk about these white people, Marcus, because
yeah,
because a plot twist that came out, I guess, today from the governor and some of the other officials in Minnesota is that the people that they arrested last night were out of state. Like there was nobody that was arrested last night that was a native of Minnesota or a resident of Minneapolis or St. Paul.
Yeah, I saw that. That's a little troubling.
Yes.
Minneapolis is Minnesota is a pretty decent sized state. So it's not like someone's just crossing the border and jumping over. Like you're making a commitment to drive to Minnesota to get involved in this. And I do think the protest, the longer they've gone, the more the focus has shifted from George Floyd to just general, I think, frustration towards the system. And I feel like at times the original message is getting lost. And not so much, I think, in Minneapolis, but in these other cities where I think the anger and also, listen, people are out of work. People are broke. People are pissed off. People have been at home since March. I just think it's a perfect storm for what's happening.
Yeah, and it's like you can have a conversation about two things at the same time, but in terms of the protests themselves, I think that, yeah, the message can get diluted, particularly when you have these outside forces. And, like, I'm not saying that everybody white at the protest is up to no good. I'm not even saying most of the white people at the protest up to no good. But there are, like, and here's the crazy thing, Marcus. The people can't even decide which bad white people they are. Like, are they racist right-wing groups? Are they crazy left-wing groups? Are they neo-Nazis? Like, are they undercover police? You know, are they the CIA? And so it's like, when the riots first started, there's a part of me that's like, okay, yeah, you know, obviously you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't tear up your own stuff. But at the same time, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And the only way, like, we can't take a knee because y'all don't want us kneeling during the national anthem. You know, we can't protest peacefully because you're saying we're blocking up traffic. Y'all don't want that. You know, we can't vote because y'all trying to take away our voting rights. So it's like, what other options do we have except to take it to this level? And so from that standpoint, I get it. I'm like, okay, if you want to take a night and burn some shit up, go ahead. But I do think when you have these inside or outside forces that are trying to use the movement or the genuine raw emotion of black people as a way to stir division and to harm black people ultimately, because black people are the ones that's going to get blamed for all this mm-hmm. when it's all over. It's not going to be, you know, the 25, 30 white people that was in that crowd busting up windows and throwing Molotov cocktails. It's not going to be them that get the fingers pointed at them. It's going to be all the black people around them that get the blame put on at their feet. And so it's like, I don't want to come off as an advocate for rioting, Marcus, but I do understand the emotion. And I think that now, you know, now that we're in the first weekend of this, I think I'm all for the protest. I do think that if the rage was your motivating factor, maybe that part needs to come back, and we need to figure out how we can take that emotion and actually get real concrete changes put in place. Because as long as the system is still the system, it's just going to happen, you know, 3 months from now. We'll be right back here. So, that's a roundabout, long-winded way, Mark is saying, I don't know what we're supposed to do with this. But you know, coming from your perspective and somebody who, you know, growing up in Los Angeles, obviously, you alluded to it. The L.A. riots was something that, while I wasn't out there at the time, I vividly remember watching from out here in Virginia. So, you know, kind of using that as maybe a backdrop for your context, what did you make of the rioting and people's reactions to the riots?
Yeah, I think the first night in particular with the Target and all the other businesses around there, I was kind of torn. I mean, I understood where they're coming from, you know, obviously, but at the same time, if you think about, look, you got people who probably looks like you that are working at these stores that are probably just now getting back to some sort of normal hours and, you know, people coming in and now those stores are essentially starting over.
If they come back at all.
If they come back at all. The next night was Thursday night when they went to the police station. And I said, okay, well, this makes more sense. Like, if you're...
I didn't go live, Mark, because I was all for that one.
I was like, look, if you upset at the cops, go be about it. Go show up to the precinct. And, well, they did. And they tore that up. And the cops, I was kind of surprised. The cops just let them have it. Like, all right, you can take this one. Like, we're not going to take the L.
Right.
We're going to just tap out and, by all means, go for it. And then Friday rolls around. Yesterday we get the first charges against one of the officers, which was for third degree murder and for manslaughter. Third degree murder, I think, is a maximum of 25 years in Minnesota.
Yeah. And the officer, I want to say, is like 45.
Yeah. Who is currently still in jail. His bond is, I think, $500,000.
Yep.
So.
And his wife is divorcing him, but don't let the smooth taste fool you, because she's just doing that so they can freeze his assets.
Yeah, so
it's all part of
it. It's all a game. It's all a game. So that was Friday during the day, and then Friday night things picked up again. And let's talk about Atlanta first, Nate.
you mean Wakanda?
Yes, Wakanda. According to T.I.
Yeah,
who said that? Killer Mike or T.I.?
No, it was T.I. because Killer Mike actually put down some real deep logical. Like, Killer Mike always. Like, I don't always agree with everything Killer Mike says, but you could tell he's put thought behind whatever he says. T.I., like, I like T.I. Marcus as an entertainer, and I like a lot of what he has to say, but it's like 9 days out of 10, you always got some smart stuff to say about something or somebody. In a time we need you to come with some wise black words of wisdom, you up here talking about, don't do this, y'all. Maybe they could do this over here, over there, but not here. This is Atlanta. This is Wakanda. This is sacred. All right, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm like, on the one hand, as a Marvel stan, I'm like, okay, he said Wakanda. That was kind of cool. But on the other hand, I'm like, what? What did you say, Tip? Like, why did, was your presence even needed here?
Did you help the situation at all, Tip? No.
No.
So yeah, Atlanta. If you've been to Atlanta,
yo, Atlanta,
downtown Atlanta's. You got the CNN Center. You got World of Pepsi, World of Coke, not Pepsi. I'm sorry, Atlanta. I didn't mean to slander you by mentioning Pepsi. Yeah. The aquarium. It's all downtown. And yeah, Phillips Arena.
Around I was gonna say Phillips Arena, Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Yeah,
it's all in that same kind of complex.
They were the major protest was right outside CNN Center, and that got torn to shreds. Which,
yeah,
at one point, the CNN reporter was inside the CNN building, sort of facing out. And you have the cops in between him and the protesters who are outside. And did you see the fireworks go off or whatever that was they tossed in?
Yep.
Yeah, so the protesters tossed in something inside.
Hey, man, first of all, real quick, Marcus, shout out to these reporters. Because it wouldn't be me out there, dog, in the middle of that. Like, I think the smartest person was because I was watching MSNBC. And the night before on Thursday, Ali Velshi was out there. And Ali Velshi almost, with the mask. He had the cool mask to protect himself from the tear gas. Ali almost got yoked up by the protesters or somebody. So then today, Ali was like, all right, I'm back here. Ali was on the rooftop somewhere, shooting him and the cameraman shooting out onto the traffic. I'm like, that's where I would have been. Like, I'm not going to be on the street. I'm going to be somewhere away from the chaos.
Yes. Well, shout out to Omar Jimenez, who was
from CNN, got arrested.
Arrested at 5 a.m. in the morning during a live hit by the cops. All of this was caught on air.
He was in jail before the cop that killed George Floyd was.
Yes. And he was out an hour later and back doing his job. This guy was, he's 26. He's black. He's Afro-Colombian. And, he was the only one of that media group that was taken in, of course. Mm-hmm. And what impressed me most was, it would be easy for him to be upset and angry and lash out. Yeah. But he, was a true professional. He got back out. He did his job. And
it couldn't have been me. Couldn't have been me,
Mark. I would have needed the day off.
Yeah, because I think at one point he was saying that they kept asking him, who are you? What are you doing here? It's like, I got a whole camera crew right behind me. Like, you just can't get these cameras anywhere, dog.
No.
They got CNN stickers all over them. What the hell you mean, I'm doing here?
Yeah, so that was really just, I woke up to that alert saying, CNN reporter arrested on air, and I was like, "Oh God!"
Do you have alerts set up in your phone for black journalists?
I should, but I don't. No,
because I was gonna say that would be amazing. Like you got the special NABJ hotline.
No, this was a CNN alert. I was not
Brother Marcus.
I was not expecting Omar to be arrested.
We need you. We need you on the ground.
So yeah, that was Friday morning, and Friday night Atlanta. Yeah. So they tear up the CNN Center. They tear up the front of the College Football Hall of Fame. They basically just,
Which is like, why?
Yeah. Like, they go through Atlanta and just,
Like, take that, Bear Bryant.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Keisha Lance Bottoms, the mayor of Atlanta, during all this, gives a speech. And I thought the speech was, I know she was coming from a good place.
Yeah.
But then for her to just get emotional about Ted Turner and CNN, I was like, really? Like, I get CNN as a major job source for the city. And, Ted Turner has definitely provided for the city of Atlanta. But to get that sort of, the fact that Ted Turner even got mentioned in this was kind of baffling.
Ted, one of the good ones. Ted, a real one.
Yeah.
He was the only one back in the day, Marcus. You got to think about Ted Turner's mentality. All the good movies was in black and white. What's the first thing Ted Turner did when he got a TV station? He put some color on it.
Message.
message. Yeah. But yeah, it's crazy because I think Atlanta is a really interesting place because, as we've often said, Marcus, it's like one of the black capitals of America. Mm-hmm. And so you got a lot of people in power as opposed to a place like Minneapolis. You got a lot of people in power who look like the citizens that they're, you know, in charge of. Well, I guess that's the case of Minneapolis, too. It's just reversed.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of the videos coming out over the past 2 days. And it's like you got, like, the police chief, who's a female. I didn't know that. In Atlanta, talking to the crowd and letting them know, like, yeah, we understand. We hear what you're saying. We just have to, like, you can't just be tearing up property, though. I don't know what his rank was, but he's a black officer. And obviously people are emotional. They're upset. And so they just going in on him. And he's just standing there like most good police officers should. And he's taking it. And then he's just at the end, he's like, I agree with you. You know, it's a fucked up situation. We need to find the right answers. But
no, I did see him. Yeah.
He's like, this ain't the way to do it, though. And that's why I told those cops over there to shut the fuck up with yeah. what he said. And so it's like, yeah, like there are, not to turn this into a, you know, there are some good cops show, but there are some good cops. Unfortunately,
yeah,
when you have a situation like this, they either choose not to speak up or for whatever reason, their voices aren't amplified.
And I think that's the bigger issue. It's like for... as wrong as that officer was in murdering George Floyd.
Yep. And the others were
those other three need to be charged just as, you know, the same charges because they allowed it to happen. There was no one that decided to step up and say, hey, what are we doing? Like, and I think that's the bigger issue with the, you know, officers across the country is I'm sure it's, part of it is just, you know, pressure from your fellow peers of not wanting to be that person. But at the same time, there's got to be enough decent human beings that officers that could say, hey, look, like this isn't going to fly. Like we need to do better. And that's just
if for nothing else, like if I'm one of the good ones, Marcus, I don't want idiots like the dude that killed George Floyd reflecting on me.
Yes.
You know, I don't want those type of people in my department. I don't want those type of people in my unit. And so, yeah, like, I think if anything, I would hope, like, if there's any good to be gained from this terrible situation, it's that people are talking. And I've seen, like, even today, officers from around the country just, you know, sending out video messages like, you know, I'm Officer such and such from Denver. And, you know, I stand, you know, with the family of George Floyd, and this is something that we can't do any longer, and training needs to be reevaluated and stuff like that. I've seen at least 3 or 4 officers from around the country send messages like that. So maybe this is the start of something, Marcus, but, you know, again, being a black man of a certain age in America, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah. I just, what are your overall thoughts on law enforcement?
I mean, I guess the best way to put it would be they're a necessary evil. You know, and I wish it weren't like that because I do have friends that have served on the police force and they're good people. But I think in general, my experience with the law is probably, and I'm speaking to, you know, our white brothers and sisters out there listening, my experience with the law is probably much more antagonistic than your experience with the law, despite the fact that, you know, I really have not done anything in my life to warrant scrutiny like that.
Except that one time, you know.
I mean, except that one time, you know. I mean, you know, that's you know, like being said, you either get down or you lay down, Marcus. But it's like, I think, particularly in Virginia, like in Virginia is an interesting case study. Because when I was younger, growing up in Virginia, it was certainly much more of a red state. Now, I won't say it's completely blue, but it's certainly like purple. You know, and so just seeing kind of the attitudes in my state change over the last couple of decades, it's been interesting. And that extends to law enforcement. You know, I think as we get younger cops in, cops that have spent time around black folks and brown folks and you know, various different groups that aren't straight white men, mm-hmm. I think you get cops that are certainly more empathetic and certainly more understanding. The problem is, going back to the word of the day, Mark, is the system in place. The system needs a complete overhaul.
Yeah.
And that's not just on the officer's end. That's also in the court system. And in terms of like mandatory minimums and stuff like that, three strikes, drug laws, like things need to be looked at. Things need to be examined, which is another reason why, not to get too political, Marcus, but I know like a lot of people, like, let's talk about Uncle Joe real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I don't think we've talked about this before. Like how you feel about that man, Joe Biden, being a Democratic nominee?
I mean, we're going to make it work. We'll make it work, you know.
Right. Like, I don't know anybody that's like, yes, like, Joe. But at the same time, if not Joe,
man,
you got to think, like, it's not just four more years of Donald Trump. It's court appointees that are going to be in lockstep with the way Donald Trump thinks, which means, spoiler alert, bad news for black people, brown people, poor white people. And so... yeah, it's like, I'm not excited to vote for Joe Biden, but I will.
Yeah.
The alternative is like four more years of this.
I mean, of the candidates, he's the one that I have the least amount of issues with voting. If it was Bernie, I would have voted for Bernie, but I would have been not happy.
Bernie got his hand in my pocket.
Yeah, you know, just saying.
Bernie that took all it. Hey, but here's the thing though, Marcus. Bernie might take half your money, but at the same time, young Simba gonna get that free education.
That's what they say now. Who knows, man? I don't trust any of them.
No, not really. But yeah, I think Joe is smart enough to put people around him that can get the job done. Whereas with Trump, even if he got smart people around him, he ain't listening to them.
And I do think all of this is probably going to be good come November in terms of people getting out to vote. And, you know, like the 2016 with the Clinton stuff, even though Clinton was always polling ahead of Trump.
Right.
You still had this feeling like, I don't really know. I think part of that too is like, because she was a woman, there's always that doubt in the back of your mind of, will this country actually vote for a woman for president?
Yep.
With Biden, like, I don't want to say I'm confident that he's going to win, but I think we're in a pretty good spot going into November. Assuming that, you know, Biden doesn't do any more Breakfast Club interviews or anything else stereotypical or maybe
slightly
racist.
And the thing is, like, Joe should have said that, but he was right.
Yeah.
He was right. Like, I don't care what you think about it, but like, yeah, you can't at this point, unless you're on the payroll, you can't be a person of color and think that Trump is the right way to go. And maybe, Marcus, maybe that's another silver lining in this dark cloud of this past week and the past few months, is that I think when you go back to 2016, one thing that kind of caught everybody by surprise were the people that were like, when they polled them, I'll vote for Hillary, but then turn around and vote for Trump. I don't think you get that person anymore. I think we know who's for Trump and who's against Trump. And I think like those numbers aren't going to change. Like, there's probably 45% of the country that is Donald Trump all the way. And then 55% of the country that is anti-Trump all the way. And hopefully the 55 will be enough to put it over the top. But I think, like, there's no playing games with it anymore. People know where people stand, which is a good thing. Because I'd rather know where you stand than for you to smile in my face and then vote for Trump behind my back, white women. I mean.
Yeah. I think we'll see less of that this year.
Yeah.
And I think just over the last 4 years, he's lost some of that hardcore base of just people that he made all these promises to a certain demographic of the country. And, he has not delivered.
How many factories do you need to reopen?
Exactly. And especially coming off this, where...
How big that wall is now? How much you got finished on that wall?
Yeah, there's a whole list of stuff. But the one thing I think is going to screw him the most is people have been out of work. Like, people are broke.
Mm-hmm.
And he sort of sold this, you know, this idea that, you know, he would pump up the middle class and he would, you know... That's not happening.
And the Republicans in Congress have the nerve to try to cut funding.
Yes.
For relief efforts. And then, so it's like, yeah, that's not going to play well. That's not going to play as good as you think, Lindsey Graham, when you got to go back to South Carolina and all these out of work white people looking at you like, you're supposed to have our back.
Yeah. So, how do we get on Trump? Oh, we didn't talk about the biggest Trump story of the week. His tweet.
Oh, yeah.
Let me find this tweet.
Yeah. It's your boy Donald Trump. He's so pressed on this Twitter stuff. Signing executive orders to shut down Twitter.
Let's see here. Yeah, that too, which I still don't understand what exactly he was signing, but okay. I believe the tweet is still up.
Yeah, it's up. It just has that Twitter warning on it, I think, or clarification. Because he posted it on his Twitter feed.
And the POTUS one.
And then, yeah, they try to, because he got flagged, and he tried to come around the back door like the cat on the Flintstones, try to jump through the window and put it on the POTUS one, and they flagged that one, too.
Yeah. All right, so this was late, I think, Thursday night. I can't stand back and watch this happen to a great American city, Minneapolis. A total lack of leadership. Either way, the very weak radical left mayor, Jacob Fry, get his act together and bring the city under control, or I will send in the National Guard and get the job done right. These thugs, in all caps, are dishonoring the memory of George Floyd, which is pandering towards the 3% who black people will vote for Trump.
Right.
And I won't let that happen. Just spoke to Governor Tim Walz and told him that the military is with him all the way. Any difficulty, and we will assume control, but when the looting starts, the shooting starts. Thank you. Exclamation point.
And for anybody that doesn't know, like, that's not just a hot 16 bars Trump came up with.
Yeah.
Like, that phrase actually has roots in the civil rights struggle. Was it McGovern? That said it was some racist governor.
George Wallace.
George Wallace, yeah. I was thinking of George McGovern.
Yeah,
George Wallace, yep.
Yes.
Yeah, George Wallace, yep. When the looting starts, the shooting starts.
Yeah. So that tweet, I don't follow Donald Trump on Twitter, but that tweet popped up in my timeline, of course, and I reported that tweet. Felt good to report the tweet. And I was actually... pleasantly surprised that Twitter actually did something the next morning about it.
Yeah. And Jack jumped on that.
Yeah. So yeah, that was late Thursday night, which did not help things. And, you know, I think it's, you know, anything you see with him that goes back to George Floyd that comes off as complimentary, like, it's don't fall for it. It's
right.
Total pandering at this point. And I saw something earlier today that he did call his brother, and the brother said that he felt like he couldn't even get two words in because Trump was just trying to rush him off the phone and move on. So don't believe any of it.
No. And this, all of this, Marcus, again, let's not forget, Corona's still out here on these streets. This is the week where we passed 100,000.
Yeah,
in terms of total deaths because of the coronavirus in this country. And so it's like, Yeah, all of this terrible, terrible stuff is going on at the same time. And while I'm not going to say, Marcus, like, this isn't 100% Trump's fault, because obviously he didn't create the coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
But the way he's handled it, and then the way that he has added fuel to the literal fires that are going on across the country because of the protests, like, yeah, like this week alone should disqualify this man from becoming president again.
Yeah, this is on top of that, he pulled out of the WHO.
Yeah,
on Friday.
Like, snuck that one in under the radar.
Yeah. Friday news dump.
real quick, Mike, let's take a break from the heaviness, Marcus, and let's get down to a question. I'm sure anybody watching the video version of the podcast needs answered before we continue.
Mm-hmm.
What you got going on in that glass, sir?
Oh, this is sparkling water here, but it's orange. It's there is some fruit juice in here. It comes in a can. I forgot the name of the company, but it's water.
Okay, I'll say this brother out here drinking screwdriver, a big glass of screwdriver.
And a big old beer. Yeah, no. It's
2 o'clock in the afternoon, California time. Just screw it.
Nice. I have to work tonight. It's just water.
but yeah, like, so getting back to all this, Marcus, like, A, how long do you think, like, the actual protests will continue, but B, do you feel like there's any positive? You know, I kind of gave out some silver linings that could be the case. Do you think there's anything positive that can occur from this tragedy this week?
I think, you know, at some point people will, I don't use the term bored, but they'll move on to something else. And
yeah,
you know, the protests will stop. I think this weekend, though, they'll continue. I mean, they'll probably continue. We're approaching Saturday night here, recording.
Yeah.
I think the issue is going to be, and I think Atlanta is going to figure this out tonight, for better or for worse, as they bring in more police and troops and stuff, that I think this is just only going to escalate things instead of actually helping things. So my fear is that by bringing in the National Guard, that's going to just ramp things up as opposed to people dispersing. But
hopefully they find a way to delineate between the actual protesters and maybe people that are there just to cause chaos.
Well, it's almost like they need to, all the people who were protesting originally, to send out a message and say, like, we're not going out tonight. Let's stay home, right? And then we'll see who's left and what kind of things happen, because you're right. I mean, it's currently a mix of people that are out doing these things. But there have been peaceful protests, yep, and there also have been protests that have not been so peaceful. And people are dying from these things. Like, there is a gentleman in Oakland last night who was shot and killed, a black guy, actually, who was, I think, he was doing security, but he was also like a federal. Let me find this text. Oh, I can't find it. But he's a federal officer. So it's now being considered a act of domestic terrorism. So that happened in Oakland. And there was somewhere else that another protester died, I think, on Thursday night.
Of course, we've seen, like, videos of protesters getting beat on by the cops. And then I got a friend. Well, she's not really a friend. She's somebody I follow on Twitter that is out in Denver, Elizabeth Epps. And she's, like, a activist for jail reform. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she'll often go and post bail for people that have been wrongfully imprisoned. And she was out there, I want to say Thursday night, and they actually shot at her with the rubber bullet, shattered her phone. Like, she ended up getting hit a bunch of times by the rubber bullet. Like, she's okay. But she's like, yeah, like, the amount of the lack of concern for the people protesting. So I don't know when this is going to go up. Probably Sunday, this episode. But it, like, if you're listening and you're planning on going protesting, like, watch your back, because the cops don't care.
No.
Like, that's not what they're out here for. And if they need to, like, whether you're in the wrong or not, like, they will put hands on you. So, yeah, like, I would say, because I got another friend that's out in Vegas that was protesting last night. So, and she's like, you know, it's scary out there. So, like, yeah, just watch your back.
Yeah, especially in the cities that are not Minneapolis, where
yeah,
the cops are, you know, like, you know, obviously those cops did not kill George Floyd, but they represent the sort of the bigger issue. Like, they probably have no tolerance for this stuff. Like, you know, they're now on the front lines responding to this. So, yeah, I would not get too comfortable. We would say, you know, be careful. And then on top of that, you mentioned the coronavirus. Like, it's just, yeah.
Yeah. Like, this is how crazy this week has been, Marcus, because even before your girl April Cooper with the damn dog, the big video from Sunday was all of our Caucasian brothers and sisters
right
at that damn pool party.
And the Ozarks.
Memorial Day weekend.
Yes. And surprise, someone had coronavirus. So.
Somebody listening like, these niggas just stick to sports. that would be the episode title if I didn't know that it was going to get us a flag.
Yeah, we might get a knock on the front door. The positives that come from this, obviously I think the election is a positive. I do think that the protests led to the investigation going faster than it would have been. I know, like, it might seem like 4 days is a long time to file charges against someone, or, you know, get charges against someone, but officers are different people. Like, they have different sets of rules and standards when it comes to this stuff.
Right.
So the fact that they were able to get that done, just essentially what, in 3 days, because Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, yeah. So
yeah,
3.5 days. I think that is only because of the protest and nothing else. And I think it was the DA or someone said, like, usually it takes 9 to 12 months to get charges against cops. I don't know if that number is true, but it's definitely not 4 days. So I think that is a result of this. I think we'll see charges against the other three cops, and that will be as a result of this. And then we'll have to get to the actual trial part of the situation, because normally, you know, we've had officers that have been charged for stuff in the past. When we get to the trial, that's when things go south. Mm-hmm. And that's when a lot of these people that have killed these black men and women and brown men and women somehow get off. So,
yeah, I think the guy that actually did it, I think he's like, there's no way they're going to find him not guilty. Well, I shouldn't say no way, but I don't think Minnesota is dumb enough to not convict him. It's the other three I'm worried about.
Did you see the police report or the about the cause of death?
Yeah, but they try to say he had pre-existing conditions. Like, even if I had pre-existing conditions, your knee was on the back.
You're not helping my condition.
Though.
Yeah. You know, I think people probably saw the third degree murder charge and were wondering why it wasn't a first degree, second degree. But if you read what would result in a first degree murder, which obviously is premeditated, this wasn't premeditated.
And if it was, it's extremely hard to prove that charge.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the third degree murder will stick, and I think, unless something, I should say never, but unless something bizarre happens, I think we'll, based on what we know now, I think we'll see a conviction, at least on him. The other three.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because I think they'll get him.
Yeah.
The other three is what worries me.
Yeah.
Because wasn't it, Rodney King, everybody got acquitted, but it's like I could see a situation where this guy, and I can't even remember his name, where he's convicted, but the others are fired. They've already been fired.
They've been fired. Yep.
Yeah, I could see a situation where they don't get their jobs back, but they're not convicted and put in jail either, which is not going to be a satisfying conclusion for a lot of people.
I mean, just imagine if...
Like, you're just as guilty as that guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's actively doing it, but you didn't do anything to stop him.
I mean, this is the response now, but just imagine if Minneapolis, if they didn't fire him so soon. Like, if they put him on paid leave.
Administrative leave. Yep.
Yeah. Or if they just kept him on the desk, like, you know, took him off the street. But for you know, they've done, I guess, some steps in the right direction, but at the same time, they've also taken some steps in the wrong direction as well. So it's going to be very interesting to see once this thing goes to trial, how this all plays out. And the fear is if he is not convicted, what happens then?
It's going to be very telling, because I think that these are conversations like we've said, Marcus, that we've had for years, but now it feels like, and I guess maybe a lot of this, I don't know if credit's the right word, but maybe a lot of the credit for this needs to go to, you know, those kind of young people that were so hyped on Bernie, because I do think that they've got the appetite for the fight more so than people that are your age or my age. Like, we in the fight, we supporting the team, but let's be real. When the last time you went to a protest, Marcus?
Not since I've been back home. So not in 11 years.
Yep. Yeah. Like I said, I hadn't protested anything since probably, you know, college or a little bit after that.
Yeah.
And so it's like, yeah, like me and Marcus, like our days on the front line is past. So, you know, it's these young guys and girls, you know, out there that's got the fire and the spark. So, you know, those are the ones I think that are going to be catalysts for change. And hopefully come November, we'll actually have a new regime in place that will be more receptive to listening to people that look like us.
What have your thoughts been? We mentioned it off the top about some of the responses speaking out. What have been your thoughts about the sort of celebrity responses to all this, from either statements or tweets or Randy Orton, all of it?
Randy Orton coming out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Randy was, I hadn't seen anybody backtrack that quickly since Deion Sanders in his prime. Like, Randy Orton went from the guy calling you the N-word on the video chat to Mr. Black Lives Matter. And it's like, I don't know what to do with that, Marcus.
I don't believe it. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I mean, we know that at least at one point, one black life mattered to Randy.
Hey, now.
But I don't know if I believe Randy Orton right now. But it's been very interesting because, you know, you talk about the celebrities and, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know, because that's the other thing. Like, a lot of these celebrities have already been branded by a certain part of the country. And all those are, you know, those far left wackos anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are socialists, right? So I don't know if they're going to be bringing over any new converts. Because you look at like somebody like, even like a Kevin Smith, who I don't consider Kevin Smith to be some champion of social justice. You know, not that he's some crazy right-wing nut job, but that's just, Kevin Smith just here to make movies.
Yeah.
He's not a political dude. So I saw him tweet today about him and Mark Bernardin are going to do an episode where they talk about these issues. And for every two or three Oh, that's really cool, Kevin. We're looking forward to the conversation. Thank you for speaking. You get All Lives Matter guy or Blue Lives Matter guy, or I'm going to put up this infographic that shows that black on black crime and black shootings by and deaths by the police are actually lower when you look at the per capita rate of the population of America and all this other nonsense that's not applicable to the conversation we have. So I don't know. Like there are, and it's funny, like we could stick to like our kind of bailiwick in sports and wrestling, just seeing like the athletes that have spoken up, or seeing like the surprises. Like, I didn't know this, Marcus. I didn't know in 2020 Rex Chapman was going to become a – I didn't know Rex Chapman was going to become a spokesperson for the black movement.
Hey, Rex is down. Yeah.
Like, Rex Chapman's out here. You know, Kevin Nash, like, woke Kevin Nash is a wonderful thing.
Kevin Nash has been – what – it was Nash. So the fist, the diesel fist?
Yeah.
That goes back to Tommy Smith.
Yeah, Nash and the Olympics. Been down for a minute.
Yeah.
But like with Twitter we've actually gotten the full force of woke Kevin Nash, and I'm here for it, man.
I mean, and also I think it goes back to sort of your surroundings and who you
Yeah,
I mean, he's what, Detroit. He's a Detroit guy.
I was like, Kevin Nash from Detroit. Like, him and Jemele Hill probably grew up together.
Yeah, I mean, and he grew up in Detroit and
he's a basketball player.
Yeah, well, that too. Yep. But in the 60s and 70s, so.
Yeah.
I know people like to shit on Kevin Nash in terms of the wrestling stuff, but... Outside of that, he's been pretty down. He's always been this way. This isn't new. This isn't Randy Orton just coming out and
right.
You know,
well, that's
using
the
a
other
hashtag.
Thing. Like I think that you're also seeing a lot of questions about like is this sincere or is it performative?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Caucasian brothers and sisters. And so, like, my general rule of thumb is if you're somebody who's always been thoughtful but maybe just not spoken out about issues like this, I'll give you a pass. But if you're somebody like Randy, that you got a track record,
yes,
I'm gonna look at you sideways. Like,
we have the receipts, Randy. We got. Yeah. He can't, wait, he did. Taker.
Now I was gonna say if Undertaker came out or Hulk Hogan came out talking about justice for George Floyd, I'm like, nah, you don't get to say that, sir.
Let's make sure Hogan hasn't tweeted. Come on, let's see.
Yo, if Hogan says something, we're going to end the show right now. If Terry Bollea had the nerve to say something about Black Lives Mattering. Yo, you know, speaking of wrestling, while you're looking that up, you know who's been super duper woke and I wasn't ready for it at all?
Uh-huh.
Lance Storm.
Really?
Lance Storm has been out here for the last 48 hours just going in on, like, people that say All Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter and all this stuff. And like, okay, Lance, I always like Lance Storm, but like Lance Storm been going in the last couple of days.
Hogan has not tweeted about any of this.
He knows better. He knows better.
His last tweet, all he said was the letter M, and it's a photo of Charles Bronson.
Okay.
Pointing a gun. Death Wish. I'm very confused about this image, but it's like multiple images from Death Wish 3.
Okay.
I don't know. Is this a coded message? Is he? I don't know.
at least Hulk Hogan isn't out here talking about Black Lives Matter, because I don't think Terry's ready for the blowback.
No, he should not. Mm-mm.
But yeah,
and listen, like if you know, if you're, I don't want people to feel like they need to tweet just because there's like white guilt. So, I think you know, most people are decent human beings in the world. I would still like to assume that. I have bigger issues with some of these athletes and leads that are now coming out, especially that the fact that George Floyd has been dead since Monday, and Roger Goodell just put out a statement on Saturday.
Oh, today?
Today. Like, at some point, the window is closed on these statements that are usually halfway, you know, half the time they're usually empty statements, you know. Some statements right. even mention George Floyd's name. I'm like, why are you putting out in the statement if you can't mention his name? What's the point?
Right.
So those are the ones that I sort of roll my eyes at. The ones that are coming from actual human beings that are not celebrities, like, I respect that. But yeah, to your point, I'm just like, I don't know who's actually being genuine and who's actually just doing it for the likes.
And I think, like, people that put, you can tell who's put thought into what they say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I'm not just going to shout him out because he was on the show last week, but shout out to John Pollock, who tweeted today about his experience and then his privilege and the prism through which he views things, and maybe things fly under the radar. Like, yeah, I think it was five tweets.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That in John's thread. And so it's like, yeah, there's actual thought put behind that. It's not just a slogan. It's not just a hashtag. And people like Lance Storm, like, because Lance has been on this all day. Like, from sun up to sundown, Lance has been out here talking about racial inequalities and you know, how is this still a thing in 2020? And so, yeah, like, white people, you're not going to have all the answers, because, spoiler alert, black folk ain't got all the answers on this.
Yeah.
But I do think, like, you could tell who's actually genuine and sincere with their words and with their thoughts, as opposed to people who are just trying to, you know, get that good PR hit.
And, you know, if the people that are coming forward now, like, keep the same energy a month from now, two mm-hmm. months from now, because this isn't going to, just because now you have discovered what minorities have been going through for ages now, it's not going to suddenly go away. So there will be other George Floyds in the world that are
That's
murdered.
The only thing that we can guarantee is this isn't the last time this is going to happen.
So now it's on you to have those conversations with your peers
mm-hmm.
and to try to change it that way, because there's nothing we can say that's going to sort of get through at this point. Like, we've been down this road since, you know, Dr. King.
I got something to say about Dr. King real quick, but look at your computers, people. Look at Marcus Vandenberg. Like, don't look at me. Don't look at this thug from Virginia over here. Look at Marcus Vandenberg. That's a respectable brother. The police ain't listening to him. What black man are they listening to?
Yeah.
So we need white allies in this, right? Like, this isn't a situation, a solution that can come from within the black community by itself, because we've been talking. We've been protesting. We've been voting, and nothing has changed. You know, you get incremental changes, but fundamentally the system is still the same. Then the only way the system changes is through the actions and the mm-hmm. assistance of our white allies. And so, yeah, like, this isn't just a black thing. You know, we're like, if you're really about the cause, and this is more than just a hashtag, we need your help to put in the work to make the change.
Yeah.
But the Martin Luther King thing, man, is crazy, because Twitter is so stupid. Like, I love Twitter because, you know, Twitter gives us access to all sorts of ways to, you know, talk to people and share ideas and promote stuff. But Twitter can be so stupid sometimes, because Martin Luther King III posted over the weekend his father's quote about, you know, how riots are the voice of the voiceless.
Mm-hmm.
Some white man had the audacity to tweet at Martin Luther King III and say, but what would your father say about the looting? He wouldn't appreciate that, would he? Like, sir, You're tweeting to Martin Luther King III. I think he knows what Martin Luther King Jr. would say about the situation.
It's more, literally more his so name.
Than, yes, more so than you, Bob, who works at AutoZone.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, man. People don't listen to black people. Specifically black women. Like, they've been trying to tell you what's been going on.
Yeah.
So, and it, hopefully it doesn't take another instance like this for the message to kind of get through. But unfortunately, Mark, it's like, yeah, like you ain't no young dude no more. I ain't no young dude no more. We've seen this happen before. And unfortunately, it'll probably happen again.
Yeah, I mean, what, Ferguson was, what, 6 years ago?
Yeah. Freddie Gray, Tamir Rice, yeah. Sandra Bland.
Philando Castile. Like, that's another one, Minneapolis one.
Yeah, right next door. In,
yeah, was it St. Paul?
Minneapolis or St. Paul? St. Paul,
I can't remember. Yeah.
Yep.
You know, it's...
Eric Garner.
Yeah.
Trayvon Martin.
Yeah. And I think the difference between...
Who was my man, the brother, was it last week? Where the video came out about the brother that was jogging, or was that a couple weeks ago?
Oh, no, I'm at Aubrey. So...
Yeah.
I think the difference, though, between that reaction and this goes back to the person who killed him. Like, you know, it's fucked up that he was gunned down, but he was gunned down by two non-officers. The fact that an officer, a sworn officer who's supposed to protect and serve, did this, I think that's what really set everyone off, as opposed to...
And we had proof, as opposed to...
We had proof, yeah.
Other times where you just had to believe black people and you chose not to.
When we saw the video from Georgia, it felt like only a part of the population was upset and bothered by it.
Right.
But now this video comes out and it's like, oh, okay. Like, we've been trying to tell y'all, like, this is an issue. But I think the fact that an officer was the one behind it, it was just sort of like, okay, like, this is something I can get behind.
Yeah, it's like, because the police officers are supposed to be the best of us.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out, oftentimes for black and brown people, they're really the worst of us.
Yes.
So, this is America. That might be what we go out to this week, Marcus.
Yeah.
Little Childish Gambino.
This is going to ruin Live PD for me. You know, Live PD is interesting because I think, A, you learned that, you know, not all cops are bad people, number one.
Yeah.
But number two, I would say 70% of the people that are caught up on Live PD are white.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not... It's and especially maybe it's because of some of the cities that they're filming this at, but
right,
we are not the ones that are sort of getting caught up in the day to day, but we are also the ones that are getting killed, assaulted at a higher, much higher rate.
Like, we are incarcerated differently.
Yes, but
and then again, like the somebody's like bringing up black on black crime. It's like, nobody ever talks about white-on-white crime or Asian-on-Asian crime. Most crime occurs within a community.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like, of course the numbers for violence amongst black people is higher than outside the race. Just like the number of crazy white people that out here shooting and stabbing people, is the number is higher for their white victims than outside the race. So, like, all of these talking points are... Like, you can tell when somebody's not having a good faith conversation, Marcus. And, like, immediately, when somebody's like, I understand, but why aren't black people angry when there's crime in their own community? It's like, have you been to a black community? Have you been to a black city? Have you been to the quote-unquote hood? Black people is mad about crime in the hood all the damn time.
You think we like gangs? No one likes gangs. Like, that's not...
Especially old black people.
Oh, man.
Like, old black people hate crime in the inner cities more than the staunchest Republican. But at the same time, like, yeah, we can be focused on fixing what's going on in the community, but also not getting killed by the damn cops when we get pulled over.
Yeah.
Because one of these things is something that happens just as a way of life, like crime happens.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is something that should never happen, which is the police kill me when I'm not doing anything to be killed for.
Yeah.
And writing bad checks is not something you should die for.
No, no.
Like, yeah, like everybody listening to this has bounced a check or not had enough money in their bank account or tried to do something shady with their finances. That doesn't mean you got to die.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're black in America, never say never. So it's a very depressing way to end the show, Marcus.
Wow.
What's a positive word for the people so we can leave them for the next time we come on the microphone, Marcus? Give the people some hope for the weekend.
Some hope? Let's see. It's June. It's summertime, Nate. That's hope.
Summertime and Corona's still out here.
And quietly, the entire country is pretty much back open now.
Yeah.
I mean, New York City is the last one. New York City is the last major city. And that's June 8th. They're going to be back up and running. So, quietly, things are... I mean, Vegas opens this week. That's a positive.
Yep.
Disney World opens in July. That's a positive.
How long before you go back to Disney?
So, we had a trip scheduled for October.
Mm-hmm.
And... Oh, guess who just followed me back on Twitter?
Who?
Kevin Nash.
Ah, nice, nice. Let him know we're talking about him this week.
So,
see if we can get Nash booked for next week, Marcus.
We'll make this happen. we still felt comfortable going in October. We figured by October things would sort of mellow out for sure. But Disney decided to change their reservation system. So essentially Disney's opening, but Disney's opening at maybe 25% capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to do that, they need to wipe out all of the restaurant reservations for people.
Mm.
All of your sort of experiences that you might have booked, they need to wipe that out. And then they said you would have to make the reservation to go into the park. So you could be going down there and you aren't necessarily guaranteed to go to the park you would like to go to.
Mm.
On top of all that, Disney's not cheap. So you're spending all this money for a vacation that is going to be drastically impacted. On top of all that, masks are required, which I get. I support that, but it's also Florida. It's humid. It's hot. You're wearing a mask.
Yep.
So we are going to, I think, not go this year. And
I'm going to say, might just put it off until next year.
Going to put it off into 2021. And I think we have something else planned for that same time frame, but it won't be Disney World. So, yeah. And Disneyland is still closed. So, even that is still
okay. Here. So, still Disneyland is still closed.
Still closed. I mean, Governor Newsom has sort of had a different playbook than the others, especially Florida. DeSantis was like,
yeah,
come on in, everyone. Like, NBA, come on down. UFC, WWE's already here. So, yeah, California's been doing much slower. So, I would think by...
So, when are y'all scheduled to open up?
There's no word yet, but we just now, as of yesterday, can get haircuts. So, barbershops are open. Restaurants are back open.
Uh-oh, you going to risk it, dog?
If my barber will text me back, yeah, I'll risk it. I'm never back yet. I was hoping to get like the first cut so I could get in before I started seeing people, but as you can see on camera, it's about time. It's about time for a cut. So yeah, I would guess
this is not the face we want to present to white America.
No, this might be a little threatening.
you can't show that face in Central Park.
No. A hat on? Oh, man. And a mask?
He came out of the... Like, I wasn't sure if it was Elder Barge or...
this homeless individual just pulled up on me.
I'm calling the authorities. Yes.
I would guess by end of summer, Disneyland will be back open. And at that point, we'll decide how to approach that one. But quietly, the country is now trying to return to work and stuff, but Rona's still out there, man. It'll get you.
Yeah, it's still out here, and I got a feeling like Rona's coming back too. Like, I got a feeling.
Electric Boogaloo.
Because we didn't do what we were supposed to do.
No.
As a damn country. We halfway did it.
Does that surprise you?
Like, we did it for a month. Mm-hmm. We did it for a month. And even during that month, niggas were still going down to spring break.
Yeah.
So like we haven't done what we're supposed to do.
This is why I think the protests will eventually stop, because people just get tired of it. Like, they got tired of coronavirus, and we're like, all right, well, it's done. I'm done with this.
They treat coronavirus like it's a season of Ozark.
Yeah. I've binged this.
I watched Corona already. What's next?
Yeah.
Oh, Black Trauma? I got a season pass to Black Trauma.
Yeah.
Message. on that note, Marcus, I think let's wrap things up, because again, we want to end on a bit of a positive note, but yeah, we felt we had to do a show, even though there's no sports really going on. We got to talk about what's going on in the country.
Yeah, we'll have some next week or next show. We'll have a UFC pay per view.
Yeah, we got UFC. NBA is scheduled for what, July?
So NBA voting Thursday. NBA is going to vote on a location, which would be Disney World, and then a format. So they need to figure out if they're going to go straight to the playoffs, if they're going to go like a play-in for the teams that are on the bubble, what they're doing there. So Thursday we should know more about that, but the date that is targeted is July 31st to start things up. I think the issue is going to be they are going to have the finals going against football. And
right,
that's not ideal. On top of, you know, assuming baseball happens and college football and hockey, like, there's going to be just with the people that are missing sports now, you're going to, there's going
to
be
no sports to too many.
Yeah, there's going to be like a one of these random Saturdays where it's going to be every sport in the world is going on. Like, soccer's coming back in June, golf is back next weekend. Yep. NASCAR has been back for a couple weeks now. UFC has been back. It's going to be one of those Saturdays where the Derby, we have races in the fall. So the Kentucky Derby got pushed back to the fall. But it's enjoy this time now while you can.
Yeah. So we'll have some fun stuff to talk about next week. Hopefully it won't be as serious an episode as this one was. But before we get out of here, Marcus, where can the people find you on social media if they want to know if you think that Black Lives Matter?
You can find me on social media at Marco Will, MarcoWill.
And you can find me on Twitter in the number 8, MOZAIK, at Nate Mosaic on Twitter. Check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/KingsOfSport. Check out the Patreon, patreon.com/KingsOfSport. Check out Post Wrestling. We mentioned Brother John earlier. Check out Post Wrestling for the Rocky Maivia Picture Show, which Marcus has been on before. You can check that episode out in the archives, postwrestling.com. We got a t-shirt that you can buy there on the store. Let's see. Anything else? I don't know when it's going to drop, but I think it drops either next week or either this week or next week. I don't know. But I did an episode of Bodega Box Office recently, which is a show dedicated to hip hop movies. Okay. And of course I picked Idlewild. So we talked about Outkast's ridiculous movie that was made at the height of Outkast. So you can check that out at Bodega Box Office. So it should be coming out here pretty soon.
I see LA has now announced a curfew for tonight.
So that means you got to stay inside, Marcus. You can't be out there running them streets.
Too bad I don't live in LA. Shout out to
the
suburbs.
Get out the streets, cuz.
Nah, I'm not the city of LA.
Marcus says that rule doesn't apply to the suburbs.
If I want to do the Target at 8:30 at night, damn it, I'm doing the Target.
And I ain't even going to wear no mask.
Oh, no. No. That is required. Pay your serious
You're not going to be one of these freedom fighters who, I'm not going to wear my mask because I'm not afraid.
God, fuck that.
That's the difference right there. I'm just going to say this, Marcus. It's the end of the podcast. What are they going to do? They didn't listen to the whole other hour of the show. But that's a difference right there between black folk in 2020 and some white people in 2020. We taking films on our cameras of injustice and racial discrimination. Y'all taking pictures. Y'all don't want to follow the rules and put on a damn mask at the Publix.
Yeah.
That's the difference right there.
Yeah, don't trust people who don't want to wear masks.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say.
That's how far this society has come. Used to be somebody wears a mask, they're a bad person.
I know. Now they're the baby face.
So that's how things work. So that's going to do it. Again, thank you for listening. Again, this was a bit of a different show, but we appreciate y'all for checking us out. But yeah, we'll be back next week, Marcus, with hopefully some more sports talk and some good things to talk about, some positive things.
Yes.
All right. So for Marcus Vandenberg, for George Floyd, RIP, brother, I am the Godfather, Nate Milton. This is America. I said that too happy. Let me take that again. This is America. It works better on if you're watching the video version. You can see the disappointment and the resolution in my face. This is America. And you've been down with the king. What in the wide world of sports is going on here?
This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Catch you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping now. This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping now. This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Look how I'm living now. Police be tripping now. Yeah, this is America. Guns in my area. I got the strap. I gotta carry 'em. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go into this. Yeah, yeah, this is Gorilla. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go get the bag. Yeah, yeah, or I'ma get the pad. Yeah, yeah, I'm so cold like, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm so dull like, yeah. We gon' blow like, yeah. You slipping now. Look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping up. Look how I'm geeking up. I'm so pretty. I'm on Gucci. I'm so pretty.
Yeah.
I'm on Giddy. Watch me move. This is Sally. That's a tool.
Yeah.
On my Kodak.
Black.
Know that.
Yeah.
Ooh. Get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. Work it. Yeah. 100 bands. Contraband.
Contraband.
I got the plug on who a hawker.
Whoa.
They gonna find you like Paco.
Blah.
Ooh. America. I just checked my follow and listen. You motherfuckers owe me.
Get your money. Get your money. Get your money. Get your money. Get your money.
just a black man in this world. You just a buckle, hey. You just a black man in this world. An expensive car, hey. Just a big dog, yeah. My camera came in the backyard. My very life took, though.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, thanks, thanks.
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna leave it all on the mat, 'cause that's what I do when I get it done, so I can do it. Yeah!